Will Hillary Clinton pull a Tar Heel steal? Will Barack Obama be a Hoosier loser? And will either handle Guam with sufficient aplomb? I'm trying to gussy up the political race as much as I can because I have noticed there's a little political fatigue out there. A little bit. You notice that? A little bit.
So no, I'm awake.
Let's power through the doldrums. And the best way I know to do that is to get a guy who's excited. Jim VandeHei is the executive editor of Politico. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. So, Jim, let's start off with the number one hottest political question. We bandied it about already. What kind of lettuce do you like?
Oh, me? I like good old crisp iceberg lettuce.
Yes, you're,
sure.
You're a real American.
Yeah.
I like that fancy arugula.
Fancy arugula.
That's Barack Obama one.
So confusing to the Iowans. Did he say arugula? Is that a country in Africa that I don't know about? So the reason we're talking about this is the cover of Newsweek has a sprig of arugula juxtaposed with a glass of beer. And the symbolism there is that Obama, who once asked an Iowa farmer about arugula, might be out of touch. Like windsurfing with John Kerry or like George H.W. Bush not knowing what a supermarket scanner is. Jim, do you think it's a fair symbol?
Do we really think that Hillary Clinton in her free time like throws back shots with a beer chaser in dive bars throughout America?
You're right. She probably funnels. It's more more efficient that way.
Politics is all about being a good actor and creating a good narrative. And there's no doubt that I do think that Obama has a problem and that he often does seem like sort of coolly detached, if not sort of aloof to a lot of voters. And that's probably part of the reason he does not do well with working class whites and certainly hasn't in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and other states. I don't think it's sort of a game changer for him, but he does have to prove that he can do something to connect with voters that aren't just the African-American voters and aren't sort of your traditional liberal elites. And that has been the story. You guys were talking before about getting bored with the campaign. I can understand that because it feels like nothing has changed even after Pennsylvania. We're still locked talking about electability, still talking about the big obstacles that he has and the big obstacles that she has. The truth is very little has changed. He still has the pledged delegate lead and the popular vote lead, and most superdelegates that we talk to do not seem terribly moved by Clinton's victory in Pennsylvania, though they do seem a tad more skeptical of Obama now, certainly, than they did a month ago.
Mm-hmm. So Obama was asked by everyone about the white voter gap, how she's winning among white voters, and he was asked that question in a place he hadn't been before, the Sunday show on Fox News. Let's hear a bit of that.
What we've done has been successful throughout. I mean, it's not like I've been winning in states that only have either black voters or Chablis drinking, limousine liberals. I mean, we've been winning in places like Idaho. We've been winning in places like Colorado.
Jim, my question is, unless he does it anew, can he just point to his past victories in the Mountain West and that'll be sufficient?
It may be sufficient to, as long as he has that pledged delegate lead. I mean, The truth is, like in a place like Idaho or some of these states that he's won where he says, it's not like I'm just winning with the same coalition. He kind of is winning with the same coalition because in caucus states, you basically get sort of like the real elites in the party or the real activists in the party. And he's always done pretty well with those groups. And I think the reason that some superdelegates are getting a little more skeptical is that, come on, like you spent all this money and all this time in Pennsylvania, and you did not seem to be able to make inroads with these voter groups. And he was not making these inroads at a time where there's all of a sudden controversy around him, whether it's right or his bitter comments. And now, that's what Hillary Clinton always wanted, just plant that seed of doubt and hope that somehow it sprouts and somehow it blossoms in time for her to be able to win. I still think almost every Democrat I talk to thinks it's going to be very difficult for Obama not to win the nomination. That's why he's playing it safe. That's why he's saying, I'm not going to debate her anymore because last time I didn't do very good in debate, and I'm the front runner, and I'm going to try to play it safe, run out the clock, win in North Carolina, win in Indiana, and get out of this race and get into the general election. You see there's a couple stories out this morning where his aides are describing him as sort of bored with the process. It's a dangerous place. I understand. I understand it, but it's a dangerous place to be in because you think Hillary Clinton's bored with it? And this woman is like, there's nothing that seems to stop her. Every day she seems absolutely full of energy and ready to go to war with Barack Obama. So if he gets sleepy, he could be in trouble.
Yeah, and she proposed a series of Lincoln-Douglas debates. I was looking up the format because I read a book on them. Lincoln Douglas debates start with one speaker speaking for an hour and a half. The other one has an hour to respond and then a half hour rebuttal. I don't even think C-SPAN would pay attention to that.
Could carry it live on the radio, though. I would love to. I can't think of anything I'd rather do than listen to those guys for an hour and a half response.
Well, here's something I kind of enjoyed, although Barack Obama might not be enjoying it, and it's Jeremiah Wright has taken to the airwaves. He's giving a speech later this afternoon at the National Press Club. Yesterday, he spoke at an NAACP event in Detroit. Here, the Reverend riffs on a beloved figure in the Democratic Party while making a point about discrimination.
Only black children 50 years ago were singled out as speaking bad English. In the 1961, that's been all over the internet now, John Kennedy could stand at the inauguration in January and say, it's not what your country can do for you, it's rather what you can do for your country. How do you spell ISK? Nobody ever said to John Kennedy, that's not English, ISK. What's ISK?
Wow, that was a Von Meter-esque Kennedy impersonation, huh? I guess Reverend Wright will accuse me fairly of taking that cut out of context, but that's how the media works. Do you think that his repeated speeches, if he takes this tone, are going to continue to hurt Obama?
Number one, the speech, if you didn't listen to it, it's worth listening to and watching. It was a pretty amazing speech. The guy is a very smart thinker and a very clever speechwriter and giver. That said, the timing's terrible. The last thing Barack Obama wants is a media tour by Reverend Wright. He wants to distance himself as much as possible from him and from his comment. And Reverend Wright seemed to be pushing himself into the news each and every day. And the media were more than willing participants in filming his and airing his speeches, live. Last night, I think it was Fox or CNN or maybe both, ran almost the entire speech that he gave before the NAACP. He speaks before the press club today. Barack Obama needs to figure out a way to push this stuff behind him, because that's what troubles the superdelegates. And the reason I keep coming back to superdelegates is, that's all that matters for Hillary Clinton. She does not think she's going to win the pledged delegates. She does not think she's going to win the popular vote. She has to convince those undecided superdelegates that, he's not electable, and it's worth risking the wrath of African Americans, which are the base of the Democratic Party, to elect Hillary Clinton instead, because she'll say, I can win. He can't.
Jim, if only for a brief moment on the BPP and online all the time at Politico, you have recharged our political batteries. Thank you very much.
I'll take care. Enjoy the day.
Jim Vandehei, executive editor of Politico.com.
Hey, don't go anywhere. Coming up on the show, frog legs in France and sludge in Baltimore.
Which would you rather eat?
Need I say more? Curious? Come back. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.